Blog Talk Radio.
They're that fabulous family of singing brothers with the sounds that make you feel good, and they've won all the awards tonight, the Winans.
Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing, another episode of aligning with the love and the power, the compassion, wisdom, inner and overstanding of our wonderful Creator, Yahuwah, and the angels that represent that name. This is an exciting time that we're in, and we're talking tonight about addictions because your host, Viata, that's me, can just return from a wonderful adventure in Arizona, and it was pointed out to me by the messengers around me of the many addictions that people are attached to. And so even reading today, in my reading time today, I had a very relaxed day today, reading many articles and magazines and online, and the addiction issue just continues to come up. And so I did some research and some work and decided, okay, it's time to talk about an issue that is needing healing. That's what this show is all about, soul purpose healing. That's what we are all about on the planet, those of us who are consciously walking on the earth, aware of our purpose on this earth. We know, and we are ready to make the change, as the Winans said. That song is so memorable for me of the times that I was in the church. The Winans have always been a very popular Christian group, and they sing about mostly Christian ideas and thoughts. And so my journey on this earth has been from a very Christian religious church atmosphere to one of more spirituality and aligning myself with the energy of the planets more than the energy of a system of religion. But there are some words in that song that the Winans sing about time to make a change that bring us to a place of spirituality. And this show, Addictions, Healing from Addictions and Other Challenges Holistically, this podcast is all about bringing into the picture of healing not just the body, but the mind and the spirit. There are three levels, three primary levels of our being here on earth that have to be given attention to if we want to completely heal from whatever is interfering with our spiritual growth. And let's just start out tonight, for those of you who are listening, we're going to start out with the definition of addictions on Soul Purpose Healing is attachment to anything or substance that is interfering with your spiritual growth, because that is why we're here. That's our sole purpose on this earth. Every soul, every being, every human body, every mind is here to grow spiritually. That is my understanding. That's my experience. Yours may be different, but I'm presenting that as a suggestion, as the primary thought that we are here to grow spiritually. And so if we are walking around addicted to things and attachments on this earth, then it's interfering more than likely with our spiritual growth. And you might say, well, how do I know that? Because I've been living on the earth for 60 years now, and my experience on this earth has taught me that people who are attached to things and continually go to those items, those things for comfort or for relief, instead of looking at the purpose of the conflict or the trauma or the circumstance, when we have to turn to a substance or something for relief or comfort instead of advancing our spiritual growth, then we can say we are addicted to things. There are so many items out there that people are addicted to. Today I read an article that said more than 40 million Americans over the age of 12 are addicted to alcohol or drugs, and that's from the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse in New York City's Columbia University. 40 million Americans are addicted to alcohol or drugs. What that just simply means to us and to me, those of us who are conscious, that 40 million Americans are not growing spiritually, or it's slowing down their spiritual growth when they're addicted to alcohol or drugs or food even. I'm going to add food in there because there are a lot of people addicted to food substances like sugar that are keeping their bodies inflamed and not helping them to think clearly about what their purpose here on earth is. So you've got 60% of addicts, even when they get help through a rehabilitation program, 60% of them return to the drug or the substance that they were addicted to after a year. Because what they found was that the diet, having poor eating habits, is a primary contributing factor to a relapse of the addiction. I thought that was so interesting to bring that out. It's not foreign to me, but in this article I was reading, they're talking about poor eating habits play a major factor in people relapsing or overcoming. So we're looking at, because substance abuse can really deaden the appetite, what many of the drugs are doing, and then there are the same neurological circuits that drugs and alcohol stimulate, are also activated by salty or sugary foods. It was clear to me when I met former drug addicts that their new drug of choice was sugar. They would eat anything and drink anything with sugar in it as a substitute. So many times We have individuals who were addicted to heavy drugs or substances that they turned to sugar as their new drug. So it just was, my eyes were open during that period when I was observing these things, that sugar is as much a drug as any other substance we call drugs, but we've been trained to think of it as food. So our subconscious attempt to maximize any stimulation of the neglected reward centers of our brain. Our brain is looking for rewards. Our brain is looking for satisfaction. So starting in the mind, we are looking at the causes of these addictions. And what's happening a lot of times is that we're looking for a reward, some type of stimulation in the subconscious. So we attempt to get stimulation of now neglected reward centers. When a person gets off of the cocaine or the alcohol, then they're still in a subconscious way looking for some type of reward. So usually what they have found is most people are eating very little during the day, and then they binge later on, leading to their blood sugar just becoming totally erratic. So instead of getting some really good proteins and good fats like butter, avocados, coconut oil, make a note of that if you've got a pencil and paper, that your good fats, which can help anyone who's addicted to substances, are what just three major ones are: butter, avocado, and coconut oil. When you're getting those type of fats in your diet, it really, really can help reduce the need for reward, the reward of addictive substances like sugar and alcohol and cocaine and all that. Yes, I'm putting them all in the same category because those are the items, the substances that lead, that keep us attached to these foods. So instead, we want to be loading up on nuts and seeds and really fatty fish and other omega-3 fatty acids that suppress inflammation in the brain. One of the things I've learned a lot about sugar, in fact, is that it's very inflammatory. White sugar we're talking about primarily. We have people who are not as addicted to sugar, but they're eating a lot of honey or other things. But the worst substances are the high fructose corn syrup and the white sugar. That's just as bad as cocaine in my mind. So when you are looking at all that sugar in the diet and then the illegal drugs, your body becomes very inflamed. And then the foods that will help with the inflammation are the nuts, the seeds, the fatty fish, and the other omega-3 fatty acids. They actually suppress inflammation in the brain and throughout the body. And then another solution, I'm giving the solutions early so we can start talking about the pulling up the root. We're kind of going from the top of the tree down to the root tonight, looking at the things that are helping the tree to blossom and flower. And another one of those things is exercise and good air, good clean air, oxygen. What we need when we have these attachments to drugs and alcohol and other things is some exercise of some form or another and good clean air. And so those are just, that's on a physical level mostly we're talking about right now, the physical level, but this is about healing holistically. We're going to look at the mind-body-spirit connection with what is going on in addictions. And so jumping from the body to the mind, we have choices that start in our mind. And my favorite teaching as I've grown and matured is that we are all under the universal law of reaping and sowing. And so we are in a place of recognizing that every choice we make will bring forth a plant, or we will reap what we sow. Every choice that we make, we're talking about seeds being planted, and we're going to reap what we sow. So in the healing of addictions, we have to become more conscious. Consciousness is the answer to just about everything, every problem that is on the earth. we can offer solutions by offering consciousness. That is what my sole purpose on this earth is to raise the consciousness of every person within my voice, within my typing email space, is to raise the consciousness. In fact, I was listening to a sermon by Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe, for those of you who may not know, was an amazing preacher, teacher, motivator. He lived in the Bahamas, and that's where his ministry started. And I used to listen to Miles Monroe years ago when I was in the Christian church, and I always was so impressed with his message because he was very articulate and he was always motivating, and he always spoke, you know, clearly, and he wasn't shouting and ranting. So Miles Monroe died last year. Oddly enough, on my ex-spouse's birthday. I thought that was kind of a message for me to pay attention, because when numbers come up like that, you pay attention. That's part of our consciousness journey, is to pay attention to the numbers. So when Miles Monroe passed away on November 9th, that was such a shock to me. I thought he was such a brilliant person and he would be around a long time. But here we are months later, and people are sharing his last sermon on YouTube. And if you have not heard this sermon, it's the most empowering sermon that you are going to hear. It's so right on time for where we are energetically, cosmically. And the sermon, you can just Miles Monroe's final sermon, Google that or go to YouTube, and it'll come up. And he's talking about the kingdom power of self-government. The kingdom power of self-government. And the highlights of that is that the perfect government is you governing, learning to govern yourself. And one of his themes in that teaching is problem, finding a problem, seek a problem, and you become the solution, because each and every one of us has the solution to a problem. He says that's why we came to this earth. Because there are problems on this planet called Earth, and we all, in fact, if you think of it energetically, we all chose to come to the Earth to solve a problem. And we may not remember that now that we're here, but that's spiritually what is going on, is that we all had an assignment that we agreed to, and as Miles Monroe says, every problem is a business. If you were born with a gift, and you realize that you can problem solve with that gift, you can make money, you can live a life full of purpose, and you can be transforming just as Miles Monroe was. So looking at it from that perspective, spiritual, physical, oh my goodness, it's so empowering to think about what happens when we can detach. When we can detach from the substances that are interfering with our growth, we can begin to solve not only our own problems, but the problems of the world. Now, some of you who are maybe into astrology, you may be aware that we are going through some really high energetic transformations right now. I was reading a report or a blog on spiritual reflection and the final mastery. It was an astrology update. Whoa, did it speak to my mind and heart about the energy above us. So we're looking at, again, for those of you just tuning in, we're looking at mind, body, spirit result answers to addictions. Mind, body, spirit, holistic approaches to attachments to things that are interfering with our spiritual growth. I am just witnessing that so often in the last month or two of people that I meet who are attached to things that are interfering with their emotions being calm and peaceful, with their emotions being steadfast and loving and compassionate and full of wisdom and over and understanding. So that's why we're here tonight, is to gain some wisdom about detaching from substances, from things, from people even, who are interfering with your growth. So back to a little astrology, the planets. The planets are in us. The planets are above us. We mirror the cosmos. We mirror this wonderful universe around us. And so in a report I was reading, or a summary I was reading today, it was talking about the higher spiritual influences that are going on. And it's really amazing to know about the involution going on and these energetic patterns that are really shifting and shaping our own evolution and involution. There are some very contradictory energies, you might say. A lot of chaos and confusion is arising. And so what that's causing, this shift in our energy, is causing internal feelings of confusion. And my perspective on that is that you and I are becoming more aware of the energy of the adversary, the energies that are keeping us from growing, the energies that are among the planetary movements above us, because planets are always aligning to reflect our evolution. Yeah, it's true. If you look at the planets, if you study the planets, those planets are urging us to step into our new life. We have been going, since 2012, we have been going through a mass, big change, a transformation in the Earth. And there are planets that are moving, and so our collective evolution has been unfolding big time in the last 2.5 to 3 years. Our evolution is expanding. Our evolution is moving and growing. And one person who writes this article calls it the mutation of consciousness. I love that phrase, mutation of consciousness. We are all collectively going through assimilating into our physical reality the changes, excuse me, and the lessons that we've been learning over the last 3 or 4 years have been accelerating in us. The clearing we've been doing, the cleansing we've been doing, the rebalancing and refocusing that we've been doing, all the light work, all the changes, all the adjustments, these things have been going on in a major, major energetic form above us. So that we who are wondering what's going on inside me, and those of us who are still attached to substances and addictions, they're struggling with that, and they want to get off of these things, and they realize that this is not helping their growth. So our bodies are talking to us. Our bodies are talking to us. And our bodies are all, our mind is always looking, again, for that reward. And the true reward, the immediate reward, is always ultimately a life of true authenticity, of continued growth, and a deeper connection to our own spiritual truth, that we are being the change that the earth has been waiting for. This is a really important time of our lives, of seasons, for us to be the change that we've been waiting for. There are networks of awakened people that are forming faster than ever around this earth, and the body is talking to us. This is a time where we need to really be in touch with what we're feeling, intuitively and otherwise. Whether someone comes in the room and you get a strange feeling about that person, and you really don't want to be around that person, that's an honest feeling. That's a relative feeling that we need to pay attention to. Because this is an area right now where we're stepping into about heart resonance, that we're really getting in touch with what our heart is saying to us. It's about who you really are, what you really are, and doing what you feel you've been called to do. What are you here for? What are you here for? That's what the Soul Purpose Healing is asking, that question every week. Why are you here? Are you doing what you've been sent here to do? This is your season to rise and be what you were sent here to be. The changes that are going on energetically and the upheavals that are taking place in your life over the last 3 years, they reflect the change and upheaval experienced by the whole human collective mind. I myself have gone through so much in the last 2.5 years. I went through a divorce. I moved out of a huge house. I'm in a smaller place. I'm doing new things with my business. I'm going through so many changes, and I have been learning to detach from the things and people that I was addicted to. I was addicted to people who would do things for me without me having to do them. And now, like fixing my car or finding a problem with my car or finding someone to help me fix my car, those things are becoming easier for me because I had to detach. I had to get help to detach from people who I was addicted to, and I didn't want to spend the time and make that take the initiative to seek answers in a spiritual way. That's what our journey is all about, is becoming less dependent on institutions, less dependent on governments, less dependent on people, and becoming more secure with the kingdom within you, kingdom power, becoming someone, something that is so gifted from heaven, and cultivating and managing and maximizing the resources that you have been given from birth. And let me just add, those of you who are listening and online, if you want to call in and give us your comment, the number is 215-383-5863. And if you're on the call tonight, you hit 1. When you hit the number 1, then that will let me know that you are ready to give a comment or ask a question. If you have a question, if you're struggling with something, now's a good time to share with others who may be struggling with the same issue, same addictions, because that's what we're here for. We're here to heal. And so some of the healing for the mind, the body, and the spirit, again, we're looking at the mind as the place where choices begin, that we decide what are we going to eat and what are we going to turn to when we have a conflict or a problem in our life. Where are we going to turn? And then the body is talking to us about the choices that we're making every day. The body is in pain. If you are inflamed, that's what pain equates to, is inflammation. Every time we have pain, it's about inflammation. And inflammation, by the way, is triggered by emotions first. You have people who are resentful, people who are angry, people who are sad and unforgiving and hateful toward others, and they're addicted to pain medication. And then they wonder why the doctor can't give them the right medication each time they go and visit them. They're continually going back to the doctor for a solution to the problem they're having, when the solution is inside of us. The solution is inside of us when we take the mind and use tools to keep the mind calm, the body calm, and to get in touch with the spiritual messages that are coming from the planets energetically, and that are coming in our circumstances. What are our circumstances telling us? And so taking into account, we want to take into account body, mind, and spirit if we are attached to anything that we are aware is interfering with our emotional balance, our emotional calm, because emotions will trigger the inflammation. The inflammation in the body causes pain. And then we begin looking and seeking for a solution, and most of us end up at a doctor's office who is more than ready to write a prescription to keep you coming back. That's what happens when we go to a doctor who only knows to write prescriptions. The prescription causes side effects. All pharmaceuticals cause side effects. And so more than likely, if you're not conscious or awake, Your prescription drugs are going to cause side effects, which are going to take you right back to that doctor's office. And again, if he's not conscious and all he knows is to write a prescription, that's what they were trained to do in medical school. If that's all his limited training is giving you a pharmaceutical drug so you can become addicted to that, then you're going to be in this cycle of going back to the medical system and not your self-governing system that says be disciplined in all things. The scriptures always remind us to be disciplined and that it's life. Discipline is life. And so if we're not disciplined first in our mind to seek solutions within us, going to whether we sit down and Google and get answers for ourselves or sit down and meditate and be still and be quiet, the solution is always within us if we just take the time and be quiet. And then we have these healing tools, holistic healing tools. That is my profession, my passion, is to help people find holistic healing tools. And one of the tools that I'm very, very excited about is always aromatherapy. Aromatherapy is very relaxing, like lavender. Helps clients in their recovery. If someone's recovering from any serious addiction, lavender relaxes. There's lemongrass that gives energy, helps to have give the person energy. And then there's frankincense oil that is a mood balancer. Just those three essential oils can make a difference in a person's journey to recover from their addiction. And then you have what's called neural feedback. And this type of intervention healing tool is non-invasive. They usually attach some what they call EEG or biofeedback tools to the head to enable someone to observe their own brainwave activity on a computer and to learn to intentionally alter it via visualization and relaxation techniques. So you might visit a naturopathic physician who is expert in biofeedback, and he will help you see how your brain waves are affected by your emotions, and observe them and your brain waves. Observe what happens when you relax, when you learn to relax and breathe. Breathing, deep breathing, is a form of worship. I've been taking yoga for probably 10 years or more, and one thing that I have come to the conclusion is that deep breathing is a form of worship because you are activating the most essential element to keep you alive on this earth. So when you consciously expand your belly and release and exhale, when you consciously do that in a deeper and deeper way, then you are worshiping the Creator who gave you that breath. And so it's not necessary that you go sit in a church pew or find a religion to practice, but it's necessary that you begin to recognize the power within you. And one of the simplest powers within you is deep breathing, learning to download oxygen more and more in every situation that you find yourself in. In fact, that's one of the best tools you can use when you find yourself wanting to use a substance to bring calm to the body or to reward yourself. Your brain wants to be rewarded, and you've been rewarding with alcohol or some other substance. One of the best things to do when you are conscious that feeling is there is to stop and close the eyes and take in a deep breath and exhale, and do that for several breaths, and notice how your whole body changes, the feeling in your body and the feeling in your brain changes when you take the time to worship, to exhale and inhale consciously, slowly. The belly button should come out when you inhale. That filling up, it's like filling up a balloon, bringing in more air into the belly. And then exhaling, the belly, the navel area actually should be going down. That's your diaphragm area. Your diaphragm is going to bring the oxygen throughout the body. That pump in the middle of your body is pumping that oxygen throughout your body. So that if you have pain in your, even if you have pain in your foot, you can consciously close your eyes and direct that oxygen to the foot. And you do that for as long as it's necessary. The problem that most people have is they don't take the time to give the body what it really needs. And in some cases, all you need is more oxygen in certain areas of the body. And then laying hands on that particular area of the body sends a message of love to your body, to this vessel, to this kingdom within you. This kingdom within you was built and constructed on love and wisdom and purpose. The knitting together in the mother's womb is all about love, wisdom, and purpose. No other entity, person on this earth can build a human body like our Creator builds within the womb and has programmed the body to be built with the bones and the muscles and all the organs. That's a divine energy that brings together this human body, and it's all love, compassion, wisdom, understanding that is bringing that this human vessel together. So when you are walking on the earth and you're having thoughts of using a substance of some kind to soothe you or heal you or reward you, just taking the time to stop and worship with your breath, worship with your breath, worship with your breath, and then laying your hands on that area that is giving you a challenge, whether it's inflammation or twitching or whatever, pain, taking the hands, rubbing them together, and laying them on that part of the body while you're breathing, it says that you're loving yourself. It says, love, I love you, I appreciate you. And I'm going to give all of me, all of myself, I'm going to give all of myself to bring the healing that's needed so that I can grow spiritually. Being conscious of that is so important in these days of high energy transformation collectively. It's not just about us, me, or you. It's about the collective transformation that's going on this planet. And when we honor our own internal journey and bring the purest essence into the physical world through our authentic and creative self, our determined action like breathing, laying on of hands, essential oils, biofeedback, then we can achieve what we came here to achieve in the way of a peaceful earth and a sovereign humanity. Now, there are other tools that can be used, like acupuncture. Ear acupuncture is one that's becoming very popular with addiction specialists. They're using needling protocol to ease cravings, decrease anxiety, improve sleep during withdrawal. And the reason is because the ear is actually a map of the whole body. If you study any acupuncture or the body system, the ear formation has acupressure points, acupuncture points of the whole human vessel on the ear. Isn't that amazing that we were created with those points of energy on our ears that can help us recover and balance this amazing system just by letting someone use acupuncture or even acupressure. If you study this healing art of acupressure, you can use your own hands to massage and put pressure on the ears to bring balance into the body. Now, one of my other favorite tools for releasing and helping the body to adjust to the cravings that we have is tapping. It's called emotional freedom techniques. I teach that in my my business here in Orlando, and I teach it online as much as I can. And on this show, we've done some tapping, and it's important to use that whenever you can. You can use it while you're driving. You can use it any time of the day. If you're sitting and you're contemplating whether to take a drug or aspirin or sugar or whatever, then the one of the things you can do is start tapping on the face, the meridians in your face, tapping on the meridians, tapping that are in between the eyebrows, on the outside of the eyebrow, under the eye, under the nose, on the chin, on the chest area, under the arms, sometimes even on the wrist. You can tap into meridian points, and even on the top of the head. So all of these points on your body are will be activated to move the cells and help the cells to function in a perfect way to bring healing and balance along with all the other tools. So we have a caller on 706-202. You're on the air. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Greetings, Sister Viata. This is Brother Kwame. I'm kind of late chiming in, and I'm very honored to, you know, hear what your topic is in dealing with it, addiction from a holistic, specific way. And
well, thank you for calling in. It's nice to hear from you.
Yes, and I'm most honored in the way that, you know, me being a recovering person and have found the methodology and modalities in order to keep that addiction, which I was in, under its control, and being able to use certain indigenous teachings or, you know, ancestral teaching, I've been able to help in reconnecting, you know, that inner person that was, I have to say for myself, was afraid to know who that person really is. And that's part of my awareness in coming to discover why I was addicted to things in which I escaped or tried to anesthetize myself and use to not feel. But the thing that I discovered in the teachings was being able to know that every drug and everything that I took, I could naturally have that reaction if I knew how to tap into myself. And through that learning process of overstanding the involution that I've come to know, is being able to do, you know, what you're sharing with your audience, and being able to know that there are very many methodologies and modalities that can be used, from sweat lodges to even walking in nature, the frequencies, going to the ocean, going to a lake, sitting by a waterfall, but learning how to reconnect to the frequency of energy that is to your higher good, you know.
Yes. That's so important, and I was you may have missed the earlier. I was talking about the planets, how the planets are aligning. I came across an article about how the planets have been aligning in a special way since 2012, that is stirring up some of this energy that is causing people to seek outside rewards and relief, when what we should be doing is spending time detaching from things and going inside it to this kingdom and this self-government within us. I know you talk a lot about the planetary influences, and that's part of your teaching, isn't it?
Right, and that's part of the astral me, because each of us is part of, you know, we're extraterrestrial. We came from the other side, and we're here in human form. But we're energy. Carl Sagan says we're stardust formed into matter in order to see ourselves. And so it's being able to understand that this 25,000, I'll share with you, and this is for your audience to hear, the human being breathes 18 breaths a minute. There are 60 minutes to an hour. 60 times 18 is 1,000 1,030. 1,030 times 24 hours, because 60 minutes equals an hour. 24 hours is a day. That equals out to be 25,920. So, in that, those many breaths is what it takes this planet to go around the Milky Way, 25,920 years. And so, every day that we breathe, we in turn make that journey around the universe within ourselves. So,
yes.
It's the power.
Isn't that amazing?
Of breath. Right, and it's the power of the breath that they say in the book, the Sun Book, the Bible, in that he blew life not into the nostrils of man, and that happens when that child comes out of the womb. Those plugs are removed from the nostrils, and the breath is connected. I just had a call this morning. My mother's sister transitioned and went to the other side, but she had COPD. And that breath, that was the disease in which her breath was shortened, and she was suffering in being able to breathe. And so, in turn, she went back, took that last breath, that energy back to where she came, you know, from. And so she's in a better place now and becoming now an ancestor, but she's just crossing over, and she has to make that adjustment by those that are there waiting for her and those helpers and ancestors that escorted her out of here, that energy that took her back to the place where she came from in heaven as she was here in earth.
Now, how old was your aunt?
She was a 77.
Ooh, wow, grace. See, that is grace. Yeah. And COPD is about something with the lungs.
Yeah, it's from smoking, and it comes from that, and it has that you're grasping for breath because your bulbs and your lungs have kind of collapsed, and it's hard for you to get a full breath.
Wow, that's a big lesson for us tonight. As we're talking about the breath and the word, I was telling our listeners about breathing is worship to me. We are giving attention and consciousness to the one thing that keeps us here on this earth, the breath. And when we consciously breathe deeper and deeper, we're worshiping the one who gave it to us. So how interesting that you would call and mention the transition of someone who didn't master that. Wow, that's big tonight. We have so many who are not mastering. In fact, I have so many Christian friends who think yoga is of the devil, and so they stay away from it, but they're sick, and they have probably COPD symptoms because they don't understand the importance of breathing.
Right. And
simple breathing.
And you're hitting on a very important part, because if you want to see how you're really supposed to breathe, watch a baby when it's sleeping. You'll see that when it inhales, the stomach rises up, and when it exhales and the stomach contracts and the mouth opens.
That's right.
And the way that we have now learned that we're breathing through both nostrils and hardly through our mouth. And so in that wrong breath, we create that dis-ease of our breathing. And just by the way we breathe. You know, and so it's very important that we understand, you know, the teachings of yoga. It's for the body, mind, and spirit. And the mind is the spirit's mind, because the body has a brain. The spirit has a mind. And so it's understanding that part of when we say body, it's one whole temple. It's the brain and every organ and that part of us, but the mind and the spirit, all of that has to reconnect. That's why it says mind, body, and spirit. The mind of your spirit has to connect back to your body.
Yes, yes. In fact, every cell in our body has a brain. When you look at biology, every cell, trillions of little brains communicating and interacting in our bodies, and then we bring confusion in there when we're addicted to things, and the brain is trying to figure out what's the priority here, and then the body is always shifting into priority after priority while we are making choices that bring confusion. But
yeah,
the planetary system is actually helping us, even though we think we're confused. We're really being helped into a higher place.
Right, and that's very true, because right now we're going into the full moon, which will be Tuesday, and the moon the body is 70% water and the brain is 90% water. And even, you know, they know, they put extra people on duty in hospitals and they put extra police out on force when they know there's a full moon, because they know that that shifts the energy in the human, and it also shifts the energy in the planet. It changes the frequency of the planet. And so what we're, even unconsciously, we're not aware of this energy shift. We know that if something doesn't feel right, those
mm-hmm.
that are why women have that cycle, and that she's balanced with the moon, because it moves the blood, which is a fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why they said that you got to know your bloodline, you know.
Right.
And so in that part of being overstanding, that each cell, and, you know, every 7 years, our body completely makes every cell over again. And it's even in the marrow of our bones, is that it's where the recorded is recorded. That's why they have to do bone marrow in order to deal with certain diseases, in order to know. I guess the shapeshifters are here. They're telling me something's going on. I'm sitting
mm-hmm.
outside. I'm in Cal. It's about 5 o'clock here, and it's 8 o'clock on the East Coast, and I've just come from the ocean, and I had
oh.
to connect. And I'll be flying in tomorrow night into Fort Lauderdale, and I'm like, I'm going from ocean to ocean.
Oh, my. That is something. Now,
so,
how long will you be in Fort Lauderdale?
Oh, I've got a layover. I'm only there. I get in at 4 in the morning, I leave at 7, and then I'm going to fly back into Atlanta, and then I have to go to Mississippi for the homegoing for her on Saturday.
Oh, that's too bad. So you're driving?
Yeah, when I get back to Atlanta.
Yeah,
I'll drive.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So Kwame, share with our listening audience, we have about 8 minutes left. What do you think were the three, I'm working in threes tonight, the three most important tools that helped you overcome your addictions? What were the most primary actions that you took to overcome your addictions?
Well, one, as they say in AA, is that you got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I
mm-hmm.
hit my bottom. I have
mm-hmm.
become the lowest part of who I could be as a human being, and I knew when my mother told me that she never wanted to see me again if I was to be in the state that I was in, and I knew when your mother decides to tell you she doesn't want to deal with you anymore, you know you've hit bottom.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So for me,
oh,
that was my Achilles heel. And then the other part of being able to know that I had to find out how to save myself. My father had died of alcoholism. His father had died from alcoholism. My uncles had died. So that was that one part in saying that I was slowly killing myself. I learned that in treatment, that all
mm-hmm.
addicts are basically suicidal. They're
mm-hmm.
just taking a slower way to do it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me was learning those two things. And then the other part is that I didn't know how to love me.
Mm-hmm.
That was the real part that I had to really own, is that I didn't know how to love me and love the Creator that gave me my life, my breath. And when I understood those three things, the transition began. And so it's something one of my sponsors told me, he says, is that you have to keep it, is that you love Source first, you love yourself second, because Source is you, and then everybody else you can choose from. even my family, you know, that was the part, and that was the hardest part, because I have to love everything on the planet because this is all of source. But the thing is I have a choice to choose how I like it and how I associate with it. And so when I chose to do those three things, my life began to change. It was all the inner working and identifying one, knowing how, you know, that I had gotten to that lowest point. And it's like they told me is that, you know, when you fall on your face, only thing you got to do is turn over and you only go one way up.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, that reminds me of my own mother. She was an alcoholic, and she was raised by a father who was a pastor, and her parents didn't allow any alcohol in their house whatsoever. It was almost like they knew as Native Americans that they weren't going to touch that stuff. But it's every generation after that got deeper and deeper into the alcohol, or got into the alcohol and became addicted to it. So the grandparents had a lot of wisdom about alcohol. They just stayed away from it. But those who hadn't experienced that, they felt like, well, I've got experience, and then boom, you're hooked. And so it pays to listen to wisdom, I tell you.
And it's a good point, because, you know, I learned about in studying to be an addiction counselor, and learning that how opiates, how psychotropics, how alcohol, how any drug relates to the addict. And it basically goes into the pineal and the thalamus in that area, and anesthetizing that area, or creating a sensation in that area. The only thing that is addictive that anesthetizes and deals with the whole brain is caffeine and nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they are so hard to kick, you know, caffeine and nicotine habit, because of what it does with the whole of the brain. And so in understanding the inner me, you know, because there is no, that's your enemy. The inner you is your own enemy.
That's good to remember, enemy.
Because as the saying says, if there is no enemy within you, your enemy outside of you can't harm you.
Right.
It's only when the enemy is within you, when you stop loving you, then you allow the enemy to take you.
That's good. You know, the other thing about coffee, like you said, it affects the brain as well. I found in studying German New Medicine, when you have inflammation in the body, coffee is actually very helpful because it dehydrates and it causes the fluid to be reduced in the brain. So it's funny how that coffee can be helpful and it can be harmful at the same time. If you're not in an inflammatory state and you're drinking coffee, then you're continually being dehydrated. And then if you are in an inflammatory state, that's why people have those headaches, because when they were trying to withdraw, the body goes into the inflammatory state. So coffee has to be used wisely.
Everything in moderation.
Yes, especially the coffee, as you mentioned, because it has so much influence all over the human body that can be either helpful or harmful if it's used in excess.
Even tobacco was used in a sacred way, because in ceremony and the indigenous introduced the European to tobacco, used it only in sacred ceremonies in order for them, for prayers to be seen when it's smoked, and it's not to be inhaled. It was used to be puffed and to see your prayer, because it was a sacred herb. And so in that thing of overusing anything that we do, it turns around, becomes addictive. And so what happens is that, like I said earlier, is that everything that I took drugs to do, I found out that I could naturally, my endocrine system can release hormones and chemicals in my body to create those same sensations, and even greater, because I don't have to remember or try to remember what it was, or I've lost consciousness. I have a memory of those sensations and what they do, because there's a psychiatrist named Gabriel Monte, and he's done some extensive work on addiction. And most addictions and ADHD is caused by environment. Because if you're not stimulating a child and giving him the necessary stimulation that that child needs, it will substitute it by either sugar, salt. It will find a way to create the sensation that it would get from natural stimulation. And so
this is
why the indigenous kept the children close to the mother until they reached a certain age, and then it connected to the earth. And then the earth gave them the other sensations and the energy that comes from Mother Earth. And then the people in the village allow and created the stimulation and the environment for the child. That's why they say it takes a village to raise a child. But we fail to realize the question is, what does it take to make a village? It takes the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the aunts, the uncles, the nieces, nephews, the caretakers. And so if we're not creating the right environment, create an environment that is not constructive but destructive for the human.
Amen. All right. That's so true. When I heard a quote today that I want to share with everyone. It says, sometimes disconnecting is the best way to stay connected.
Right.
Let that soak in. Sometimes disconnecting is the best way to stay connected. And it's all about recognizing the connection between the body and the mind cannot be broken, but there are other connections we have that need to be disconnected to stay connected to your true self, your true soul being, your true spirit, and the purpose that you're here for.
Right, and that's a very important part that you shared with your listeners, and being able to say that, and about connection and disconnection. Just like when you say alcohol is a good, you know, it kills germs and it does that. It's only when you put the ism on it. You turn around and when you say sex, spiritual energy exchange. But sex is a good thing. That's how we procreate. But when you put the ism on it, it creates havoc. And the same thing when you say, you know, race, the human race, where are we racing to? We're not in a race with each other, but when you put the ism on it, and the ism always, as I was learned to say, is that the ill, sick mind.
Yeah. So we're disconnecting.
Right, because you're creating the ill, sick mind, and when the mind is sick, that means that the spirit disconnects, and then the body begins to deteriorate. But as long as the spirit is connected, the mind and the spirit is connected to the body, you will flourish and you will be in that enlightened state of energy, that oneness.
That's right. So that is the summary for tonight's lesson, is that be conscious of the words even that you need to disconnect from, that are creating energy around you and in you that are interfering with your spiritual growth. So it's about disconnecting not only from substances that are causing inflammation in the body, which are causing you to make choices to how to resolve or heal the inflammation or stop the inflammation, but there are words that we speak that are creating inflammatory energies around us. And we want to get out of those environments of inflammation inside and out. We want to maintain the shalom or the peace inside and out. And so it pays to be conscious of what we need to disconnect from and what we need to stay connected from. And that's mind, body, energy, peace, healing, pure words, study the pure words that are going to cause bring healing to the body, mind, and spirit.
And as it says in Genesis, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. It didn't say God. The Word was God. So that means that words are God. They have that energy, the same energy of thought that the Creator created from that thought that manifested that word is God. So when we utilize our thoughts, then creating the words to form the thought, we can either connect to Source or we can disconnect from Source. And that's what I was saying about me not knowing how to love Source. Mm-hmm. And then once I learned to love Source and the word Source, as I use for God, Yahweh, Allah, Yahmeh, whatever word you want to describe the source of your existence, then you have to love that, and then you have to learn to love you, because that's your truth. And the only word, the only vowel in the word truth is you. And that, it says it for itself. It says it's a vowel. It's a vowel to L. If you want to, get really technical with it, you made a vowel to the Creator, L.
Elohim. Yep, Elohim.
Right.
Elohim.
Right.
That's
So you make
and
a vowel.
And then that's a collective.
L.
Yeah, that's a collective energy.
Right. And so it's overstanding the power of the word.
Yeah.
And when we understand how we utilize our words, because what is the saying? Go, as a man thinketh, so shall he be. And it's the thoughts and the energy that these thoughts, and it resonates from the cosmic consciousness. Where does a thought travels 326 million miles a second, and light only travels 186,000 miles a second. A thought is faster than light.
That's important. That's very important to remember. So watch what you're thinking. For sure.
Right. Or watch what you're listening, because those things that you in turn listen influences your thoughts.
Yeah,
that's why
so
the
true.
Media have cut off every avenue of light to the black person with the exception of spirit, which it cannot, because the sensum or your soul is non-teachable. It already knows what it's come here to do. But they're trying to distort it in every frequency way that they can.
Yes, and that's why I'm here on Soul Purpose Healing, and I'm so grateful for Kwame's words tonight to help us remember who we are and what we're here to do. We're here to heal the planet, but first we have to heal ourselves. So turn off the television, get outside, make a sacred fire, go to some sweat lodges, read some books, and keep breathing deeply to take in the oxygen that will help every cell in our body to transform and to connect to what's needed and disconnect from what we don't need. So thank you so much, Brother Kwame, for joining in this conversation. And my prayers go out to your mom and your family as you say goodbye to a soul that lived on this earth for 77 years. That's an important number. And we give thanks.
Right.
We give thanks to the Creator for, what was your aunt's name?
Her name was Joylene.
Joylene.
No, Joylene.
Joylene.
Right.
Okay.
She was named after my grandfather and my grandmother. My grandfather was named Joe, and my grandmother was named Arlene, so they called her Joylene.
That's interesting. So we give thanks for Joylene to this day and all the messages that she brought to us, and that we will continue to learn from her soul and spirit's journey on this earth. And so, Kwame, you're carrying the mantle onward of teaching the wisdom that she brought and left behind. And so we give thanks to you, especially thank us, and we continue in our journey to detach and release what's not needed and connect to the love and compassion of the collective minds of the people we're meeting every day and who are teaching us. So have a wonderful week and a safe journey, all those airplanes you'll be on. No, I just came back, landed myself. I'm going to stay on the ground for just a short while and enjoy the grass. There's nothing like flying over those clouds and in the clouds to be grateful, to express gratitude.
I'm very grateful because I have a night flight, so I'll be up there with the full moon energy and being able to receive it. That's very powerful to fly as it's traveling from the east to the west. I'll be traveling from the west to the east, so we'll cross each other.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. You looked that moon right in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Say, hey, I'm here. Okay. Well, we'll be talking to you soon, and love us and thank us and be blessed, my brother.
Right.
Continue to shine your light. And much gratitude for you. All right. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.